Appreciate Tyler for leading our songs this morning, and we would like to welcome you. And it is our Family and Friends Day, and so we're glad that you're with us. And if you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you are here and you are our honored guests. And we'd be more than happy to have you stay around after and get to know us and talk to us a little bit more about the church here in New Boston. And if you're visiting with family, if you're family visiting with family, we're glad that you're with us as well. And we are just proud to have you this morning. Well, I thought we'd look at the question this morning, what is the Church of Christ? And as we think about this question, we're going to open to Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 9 through 11 to begin with. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9 through 11. And here in these verses, the Apostle Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians about the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And as we think about the church being the body of Christ and the purpose of the church, Paul is writing concerning those things. And he says here in these verses, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Now, these verses teach that it was always God's plan that there be a church, and that this church would belong to his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think about the church of Christ, that's what we're talking about. The church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, Christ sacrificed his life for the church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 and 26, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." And so this church is Christ's church, the church for whom Christ died. And the Bible teaches that there is only one body, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, and that that body is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, you will not read anywhere in the New Testament of any denominational body being formed. You only read in the New Testament of the church of Christ. And so let's think about what the Bible says about what is the church of Christ. And as we think about it this morning, the very first answer to that question is this: that the church of Christ is the place of the saved. Now, when we think about the church of Christ, again, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the church that Christ, for whom Christ died. And it is this church that is the place of the saved. You may remember that back in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27 and 31, that God had a purpose for mankind. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We see here that God created both male and female in his image, and his creation was good. But God did not want man to be alone. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now you may recall that in Ephesians chapter 5, this very passage is quoted as referring to the mystery of the church. And we see then that God wanted society. He wanted more than just an individual human person. He wanted many human persons. He wanted the world to be filled with people. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth is what he commanded Adam and Eve to do. And so God not only created people, but he also created unity and fellowship between these people. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, God wanted fellowship with man also. They heard, that is, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And this was after they had sinned. And it says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so we see that sin ruins fellowship. Man's sin then destroyed the unity between God and Adam and Eve. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Man's sin then destroyed fellowship with God, and man's sin destroyed fellowship with his fellow man. And that's what we see in Genesis chapter 4 in verses 3 through 8. "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the first fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the first fruit of the flock of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.' Now when Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were both in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." So you see God's purpose is being thwarted here by sin. God created a perfect world. He created perfect people to live in that perfect world. But he gave them a choice. But that fellowship that God created was perfect. That unity that God created was perfect. And there was perfect fellowship and unity between God and man and between man and man. But then sin came in and it ruined that unity. It ruined that fellowship. It destroyed those relationships. And now we have a new goal that God has created. And that new goal that God creates is to have a place where man can have fellowship with him and have fellowship with one another. And that place is the church of Christ. It is the place of the saved. Think about this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." That's the condition of sin. That's the condition of not being in fellowship with God and not being in fellowship with one another. But what is it that God is trying to do? He's trying to restore His purposes, bring us back together to a place where we can be in fellowship with Him and be in fellowship with one another, the place of the saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of sin, which destroys our relationship with God and destroys our relationship with one another. Now think about this. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He put us together again in Christ Jesus. Now look, the key thought here is that He made us alive with Christ to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and made His grace appear to us in Christ Jesus. You see that expression being used again and again. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. All of these things happen in Christ. And what does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Take heed therefore to yourselves, to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, a shepherd of the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. Jesus didn't die on the cross for some man-made institution. He died for the church, which is His body. He died for the church of Christ. And it is in the church of Christ that God has restored the original purposes that He had for mankind of unity and fellowship, of love and joy and peace. But you see, that only happens in Christ, in the church of Christ, which is the place of the saved. What is the church of Christ? Secondly, it is the family of God. Now, God's desires have always been that there be unity and fellowship between Him and among mankind. And that's what He accomplishes in the church. In Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 3, He said, "If you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments and perform them, I will set My tabernacle among you. And My soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be My people." You see, God wanted this fellowship. He wanted to be with them, and we should want to be with Him. As we continue to think about the desires of God under the old covenant, we have Exodus 19, 5 and 6. He says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine, and you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Now, God wanted to accomplish this purpose, but Israel failed to be the holy nation that God wanted them to be. They sinned, and they went after false gods. And so God said this to Jeremiah, through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 31 through 34. He said, "Because Israel failed, I've got to make a new covenant." Here's what He said. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is the new covenant, the covenant of forgiveness that God gives through his son Jesus Christ. And that's what Jeremiah 31 is talking about. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, Paul wrote, But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And so God did what the old covenant could not do through his son, Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5 and verse 10. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's that expression again, in Christ, and we know what that means. It means to be in the body of Christ, to be in the church of Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or accounting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so this church is the body of Christ, where we are reconciled to God in Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And his whole point there is that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And you are then in the family of God. Colossians 1:18 says that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have their preeminence. It's in him, in Christ, in his body, then, that it pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 and verse 9. And so the church is the place of unity between God and man. And this is Ephesians 2 verses 14 through 18. For he himself, Jesus Christ himself, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So all things have been reconciled into Christ. And who is Christ? He is the Son of God. And being the Son of God, we being reconciled to him, our brothers and sisters in him, and as a result, we are in the family of God. Now the church is then the body of Christ, the place where people are reconciled to one another in Christ. Let's continue on in looking at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18. We just read it. But look at this passage. It's talking about unity between men. It's talking about unity with God. This is the restoration then of God's original purposes in the Garden of Eden. Remember back in Genesis 1, we talked about that. What did God do? He created man and woman in his image. And he told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was his purpose. He brought them together. It is not good that man should be alone. He didn't want man to be alone. He brought them together in fellowship, in harmony, in union. Who did it? God did it. But then what happened? Man sinned. They ruined their fellowship with God. They ruined their fellowship with one another. They destroyed that unity. They destroyed that harmony. Who is going to restore it? Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus restored that unity. Only Jesus restored that fellowship and that harmony. And so it's only in Jesus Christ that the purposes of God can be fulfilled. The original purposes that he created for mankind to fulfill. He is our peace. He broke down the middle wall of separation. That distinction that's made among mankind. He broke that down so that we could be united. He reconciled us to God. He healed the disunity between man. He healed the disunity between God and man. And he brought us all together in one body. That's the church, the one body of Christ. And so look at verses 19 through 22 of Ephesians 2. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, in Christ, the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, in Christ, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Where does God have fellowship with man today? It's in the church. It's only in the church. Because that is his temple. That is his dwelling place. Now, how do you get into the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You get into the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the place of the saved, the family of God, by being baptized into Christ. When that happens, this restores God's original purpose for humanity. One person at a time. And you who are baptized into Christ are now participating in God's purposes once again. Ephesians 5, verses 31 and 32. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The union of man and woman in marriage is like the union of a person with Christ in the church. Why? Because it's only in the church that we have that unity and fellowship that God made for man to live in. And so behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133. in verse 1. The church is the place of unity for all mankind. This is what Ephesians 3 verses 9 through 11 is saying. This is the fellowship of the mystery. This is where God's purposes are fulfilled in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. What is the church? It is the place of the saved. It is the family of God. It is the body of Christ. And the unity of the body is that great purpose for which Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now, if we don't see this, if we don't see this about the church, then we've missed the whole point of the church. Because the church is about restoring God's purposes of fellowship with mankind and unity among mankind. We've got to maintain then the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. And participating in those great purposes, the purposes that God made in the beginning, but which were thwarted by sin, those purposes have now been restored in the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church of Christ. Do you want to participate in those purposes? To become a member of the family of God? To be in the place of the saved? To be a member of the body of Christ? We know what the Bible teaches for one to do that. Hear His word and believe it. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized into Christ. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Be a member of the family of God this morning by being baptized into Christ. And if you need to do that today, we invite you to come right now while together we stand and while we sing.